Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. Yes, He is. Wonderful, amen. Wonderful God. Glad to see you again tonight. Pastor Jeff is away again. This is the last time. Praise the Lord. Last time this year. Not much left to the year, but it's the last time this year. It's been 3 weeks. Three straight weeks that he's been gone. But bless God that he gets him there safely and takes care of him. Amen?
Amen.
And that we're here. Amen? Yes. Praise Amen. The Lord. So let's pray and then we'll get started as we continue our Bible study of ministry brings a blessing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name once again, O God. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness, O God. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, God, for your mercy, O God. We thank you, God, for bringing us to this place one more time, O God, just to learn of you, O God, and to speak of your goodness, O God. Father God, we just pray, O God, that you would just come into the service now, O God. Father God, that you will speak through me to your people, O God, in the name of Jesus, O Father, that we may all be edified, that we may all be strengthened, that we may all be encouraged by the word of God, O Father, that we might go higher in you, O God, just desiring to do your will even the more, O God. And Father God, we just bless you and we thank you, O God, that you are here with us, O God, and that because you are here, O God, we have everything we need tonight, O God, in the name of Jesus, a fresh anointing, O God, listening ears, O God, and even open hearts, O Father God, to receive what thus saith the Lord, O God. And we just give you the glory, O God, for everything tonight as you have your way, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue our study with Ministry Brings the Blessing. This is actually part 9, and it's the final part. It's the final part of the teaching. Ministry Brings the Blessing. Last week we sort of did a recap of, you know, blessing because we had missed a couple of weeks. So we did a recap. I'm going to sort of do a brief recap and then we'll go into the last part of the lesson. Amen?
Amen.
So I follow this outline my husband has provided for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. But what I wanted to start with, but first let's start with the scripture. Matthew chapter 14. This is where it all began. Matthew chapter 14. Starting at verse number 14. And it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Amen. Amen. And we know this is the main part of the script where we talk about ministry brings the blessing, and how the disciples had to go out and feed the people. And once they did, they were blessed because of it. Now, I had a thought. I don't know if you all take notes or not when we do the Bible study. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to participate. But anyway, but I take notes. I like to write. Because I find that when I write down what I'm hearing, I can remember. If I see it, I can't remember. If you just tell me something, that's my children. You just tell me something, it's going to go over my head and I'm going to forget. But if you write it down, more than likely, I'm going to remember. So I like to take notes. I like to take notes and when someone is speaking so that I can go back and look at what I wrote and then remember. Amen? Because it's important that we remember God's word. But Pastor Jeff started this teaching back in October 1st. And what I was led to do was go through just some of the highlights of what the thoughts that I wrote down as Pastor Jeff was preaching. Now, if you guys remember something else as we go, just jump in, okay? But the first lesson, one of the things he said, our blessing is intertwined in our service to other people. So our blessing is connected. We have to realize that our blessing is connected to other people and how we serve other people. God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. But we always have the idea that we want to be blessed. And everybody wants to be blessed. I want to be blessed. But just think about how much you want to be blessed and imagine how much God wants to bless you. Mm-hmm. And he'll do it. He'll do it according to his word. Service to other people requires work and sacrifice. It will cost you something if it is the type of service God honors. Now that's the truth. Service to other people. If you're going to try to serve people, you have to know that it's going to require a sacrifice if it's going to mean anything to God, because God deals with sacrifices. We can do stuff, but if you're just doing it just because you're doing it and you want to be seen or something, God, I ain't seeing that. But if God sees that you are making a sacrifice to do something for people, God, that honors God, and God honors you for doing that.
That's when you or the pastor were talking about the fact that it's not always convenient to do.
Amen.
It's not always convenient to help or to be of service.
That's right. Ministry is never convenient. I think that was one of the first points that he pointed out. It's never convenient. It doesn't come, when you're ready, when you don't have nothing to do. Mm-hmm. It comes, and emergencies just come. So ministry is never convenient. When we serve simply because God wants us to, God blesses us. How about that one? We serve simply because God wants us to. How about that? Just having a thought that maybe this is something God wants me to do. Okay. If you believe that that's something God wants you to do, do it. And God will bless you for it. Because God will honor that. You see that you're looking out for him. And then in our week two, I have, if we are not sensitive to the needs of others, it's hard to serve. That's pretty interesting. We serve without acknowledgement. It's purity in heart that God loves. So that's if we're not sensitive, someone can have a need. And if we just go over that need, we're not sensitive to know that, they might have an issue. Like sometimes people, sometimes they strike at you. And it's not necessarily that they're striking at you. It's that something is bothering them. So they don't know how to deal with it. So it comes out in other ways. It might come out in frustration and they'll end up striking at you, saying things harshly. But sometimes those are keys that, okay, maybe this person has a need that's not being met. And even if we just say, you need a hug, that's ministry right there. Because they could that could be it. That could be what they need. They just need somebody to grab them and hug them. And so, but if we're not sensitive to that, or sensitive to the Spirit leading us, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss out on opportunities to minister to people.
Is that when we also talked about, it might have been later, when we talked about the fact that when someone has a need and you meet that need, you meet that need because that's what God wants you to do. It's not something you need to go around telling people you did. You just do it, but there's no need to make announcements.
Right. Yeah. Right. No need to go around and shout, "Oh, look what I did! So and so did." Oh, you know what I did? You know? No. You have your reward. Mm-hmm. You know that kind of. And I was gonna say something about that later, but you have your reward when you do stuff to be seen like that, or to be heard, or people so people can pat you on the back. That's your reward. Mm-hmm. Don't expect anything else. You got what you were getting.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But when we do it because, you know, it's the heart of God and we want to please Him, God sees that and God honors us that way.
Yes, He does.
The Bible says what's done in secret, God honors publicly, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how we do things. We do, and we don't necessarily have to do it to keep it a secret, but we don't go around broadcasting it. Look what I did, look what I did. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, week three, greatness. He talked about real ministry is not convenient. And he said greatness in the kingdom of God is serving others. So we want to be great, serve somebody. That's how you do it. That's how you achieve greatness, especially in the kingdom of God. The world's way of thinking is totally opposite from our way of thinking. But to be great in God's eyes, serve somebody. That's what Jesus did. Our positions do not make us great. Our service does. How about that one? Because people think that, you know, I got this title, I got this title. Nope. Your position doesn't mean anything to God. It's how you serve people. You know, God does, you know, give you titles. It says so in the Bible. He gives some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. But not for you to get caught in on the title. He more so just was defining, you know, your job description. You know, not so much so that you can say, "Oh, I'm this or I'm that." No. Do what God said you are. That's what God cares about more so. Ministry's not convenient. Things are not going to be scheduled. Emergencies just happen. They just cannot be scheduled. External situations are not greater than your heart. If you want to do it, you will find a way to do it. And that was a good one for me. The things that, you know, that we say we have limited supply of, or I can't do this, or it's raining, I don't feel like going out. Those things are not greater. You know, if, so what? It's raining. So what? You're tired. If you really want to help, those things are not going to hinder you from helping. So your external circumstances are not going to hinder you from serving God or serving other people. If we are in service to be seen, we have our reward. That was one of what we just talked about. God has made us where we all matter to each other, whether we know it or not. And that's the thing, because some, you know, you hear this all the time that, you know, no man is an island. No, but we really have to grasp that, you know. We really are our brother's keeper. We really should be about each other's business. You know, not to get in your business, but you see a need, then try to meet it. And that's what ministry is all about. Okay, part four is the desire to serve other people. Lend unto the poor, and God will repay you. He takes it personal. As much as you have done for the least of these, you did unto Him. You remember that?
Yes.
Yes, He will make it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, so we have to remember that too. It's not that we're actually helping the person. If we just have a mindset that this might be Jesus, you know. Even the Bible says, be aware that you're not entertaining angels, right? So just remember that. That it could be. You never know. You know, you hear these stories all the time. you did this for somebody and they just disappeared. Okay. Because they're an angel. You know? So you do things just towards God, like you're just doing it for God. That's how we serve. Next one, part five. That was you feed them. God wants us to be givers because He is a giver. And He wants us to be like Him. Amen. So God gives, we give. God is concerned with all people, not just Christians. Uh-oh. Yeah, some of us get caught up on ourselves and we think that, you know, it's all about us, you know, as Christians, because we're God's children, we're God's special elect. But God cares about everybody, not just us. I mean, He cares about us. He really loves us. He loves everybody. He's concerned about everybody's welfare. But as His children, we have a special inheritance. Amen? Amen. So we are holy and set apart for God's use, but He cares about everybody.
To go back for a second, when Jesus said, "Will you feed them?" The thing that stood out for me there was that they had Jesus right there, and they didn't think to ask Jesus to do it. And I think that's what a lot of us do. You know, we have the issues, we have problems, we have things we want to do, but we don't ask Jesus. We don't ask God to help us to do. And He's the greatest helper of all. So it's silly. It's foolish not to ask.
Yes. We don't realize that He's right there with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like the disciples, we laugh at them. Jesus right there with y'all.
Yeah.
You know, we can laugh now. Yeah, but if it was us, we probably would act in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have nothing to give them. Yeah, but Jesus does. Who are you walking with?
Yeah.
You know? So we have to realize that. Wow. Okay. We must stop looking at our limitations. And one of the things Pastor Jeff said, I wrote this down, I said I was going to post it on the website. He said, it's not because we got it like that, it's because we give like that. And because we give like that, we got it like that. I love that. Sometimes I write things down and I tell him something he says. And a lot of times he does not remember what he says. He really doesn't remember. I think that's because the power of the Holy Ghost just takes over and just says things, you know. Because a lot of times he doesn't, you know that, he preaches without notes. You know, he'll have four little sentences and he'll preach this, you know, hour-long message. Like, oh, how did he get all of that out of those four little sentences? But a lot of times he says things and I just grab them. You know, even in our personal conversation, I just grab it. Go grab my pad and write it down. Praise the Lord. Okay, part six. Once we take what we have and put it in God's hands, it changes the equation. And that's what we were talking about last week. We were talking about, and I forgot to write that story again, but the story with the basketball. You know, once we put things in God's hands, it changes the equation. You know, think about Moses and the rod, you know. Whenever we put something in God's hands, the little boy with the two fish, it changes everything. You know, He can multiply it. He can, you know, feed 5,000 people for a meal that was meant for one, you know. So once we put it in God's hands, that's what we have to remember. Once we put it in God's hands, it'll change. Even our prayers, our requests, once we tell God, it changes everything. You know, if we hold on to it, it's going to stay the same. But if we release it and say, God, you take it. You know, He can do something with it. Okay, part seven. God wants us to work. How about that one? God inhabits service. God will attend to the areas that we are servicing. Sacrificing, that's what it says. Okay, we follow him, right? So God inhabits our service. So even if we think that we don't have the capability of doing something, the strength, if somebody needs help and we say, oh, I'm really tired, but I'm going to sacrifice and go and help, God will strengthen us as we go. So, you know, we rely on His power and His strength. We have to realize that God is working through us. So, even if we're, and we may, right after we're done, because this happened to me. I mean, I have strength to help somebody, but right after I'm done, it's like, it's gone. I have no strength left whatsoever. You know, I'm just like drained. But that's because the power of God was operating in me, so I could help. I had the strength to help. You know, but that's what He does. If you make that sacrifice, God will show up. The life of service shows in a life that is blessed. And that's the truth. You see somebody that's blessed, you know that they have to be a servant, because servanthood and blessings is hand in hand.
Amen.
Amen. We look for blessings, but until we bless someone else, the blessings won't come. Blessings and service go hand in hand. Real friendship, real love is demonstrated when there is a need, not in the good times. And that's what, you know, people fail to realize sometimes too, that, you know, you think you have friends because they're around you, you know, because everything's going good. But you find out who your real friends are when you need something, you know, or you lack something. You find out who your friends are, because some of them disappear. You can't reach them on the phone. They text you every single day. But when you need something, you can't seem to get a hold of them. It's an amazing thing. Your call keeps going to voicemail, you know. So real friendship, real love is demonstrated when there's a need. And that's where my book ended. So I guess, and then we missed a couple of weeks after that, because that was November 12th. And then we came up to last week. And I did the review. Amen. Did you guys think of anything else? Oh, praise the Lord. The week before. I keep thinking last week. Yeah, we weren't here last week. Praise the Lord. The week before. So we missed a couple of weeks in there. But God is good, so I'm back here teaching today. Amen. Amen. Because ministry brings the blessing. And it's not that you minister to be blessed, because we have to have the right attitude. We can't say, okay, I'm going to do this because I need a blessing. No. You do it because God wants you to do it, and then God will bless you. Amen.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
The order. You don't do it to get a blessing. You do it, and then God will bless you. You do it to be a blessing, and then you get a blessing.
Amen.
That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Be a blessing, get a blessing. Amen. All right. So, the end of our teaching, the blessing of ministry. Ministry brings a blessing in three ways: into the lives of those who are served, into the lives of those who serve others, and to God, who is delighted when His children model the love of Jesus in the earth. But in order to be able to model the love of Jesus, we have to know how Jesus loved, right?
Amen.
So, in order to know how Jesus loved, we have to follow after Him and look at the things that He did. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, we have to follow after Jesus. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously." Does anybody else have another version? Because I was thinking of another version of the scripture.
I have the Amplified Bible.
Okay, can you read that?
23.
Let me read the whole thing, 21 to 23.
For even to this were you called. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit, guile, ever found on his lips. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's a version I read earlier, but I have my other Bibles. But that I like that because it says we have to follow after him. And what it says that Jesus did, Jesus was not guilty, right? He was, there was no deceit found on his lips. So that means he didn't lie. So that means that we're going to be like Jesus and follow after him and be able to minister to people. We can't be lying. We can't be lying to people. So even if we say we're going to help them, and then the day comes and we can't help them, but we lie and say something came up when you know nothing came up, you just don't feel like it because something better for you to do came. No, we can't lie. Because Jesus didn't lie. And then it said that he didn't take any revenge. It was he didn't take any revenge. So he trusted God. He took whatever issues, even when people spoke bad about him, whatever issues he had, he took that to God. And he trusted God to judge the person. Mm-hmm. So we have to be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. And when people talk bad against us or say bad things, that we're not to, you know, take revenge on them and try to do it back. No, we can't do evil for evil. Can't do that kind of stuff. Because that's not what Jesus did. And we want to follow after him. We want to walk in love the way he did. And whatever issues we have, we take it to God. And then we'll be able to minister the way God wants us to. Because we'll be clean. We'll be cleansed. Right, teacher? Yes. Amen. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So if we're going to follow after Jesus, what does that mean? We're going to have to take up our cross. Whatever issues, whatever things that we have to deal with, we're just going to have to deal with them. Let God, bring them to God, and then follow after Jesus. Because that's what, you know, Jesus did. He went to the cross, he bore his cross, and we ought to do the same if we ought to follow after him and to be, you know, effective ministers. Amen?
Amen.
And then the last one, John 13. This is right after Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and wash somebody's feet. Because it's not about that. It's the attitude, the humility behind it, that nothing is too low for you to do. Amen. That's how God wants us to be, that nothing is too low for us to do. Jesus said in verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And that's basically what he was saying. You want to be like me? These are the things that you need to know how to do. You need to do them. Amen. You need to be humble, to be a servant. Like I served the disciples, I washed their feet. This is what you need to do as well. Amen. And verse 35, because Jesus was all about love, right? God is love. Verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And this is how the world's going to know that we are God's children, the way we love each other, the way we love other people. It's all about love. Service is all about love. And when we serve with that attitude, God is pleased, and your blessing shall come. The ministry brings the blessing. Okay, back to our scripture. In our passage, we saw how Jesus pushed aside his personal circumstances and was moved with compassion to minister to the multitude. Jesus allowed the needs of the people to supersede his own needs. It was a choice he made, a choice he made in love. Right? Amen. Because he was moved with compassion, the scripture says. Go back there. We also observed how the disciples, after some initial hesitation and excuse making, right? That's what they did, they made excuses, followed Jesus' command and served the multitude fish and bread. By doing so, the disciples were blessed because they were operating in the will of the Lord. It is always a blessing to operate in the will of God. We have to know that. Get that in your spirit. It's always a blessing. No matter what, how things appear to be, it's always a blessing to operate in the will of God, to know that you're doing something that God wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
The psalmist declared, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That was Psalm 40 and 8. When we operate in the will of the Lord, he speaks, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's what he said to in the parable of the talents, you know, when he gave out all the talents, and the one that he gave five to, I think when he returned what he had and he gave more, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's Matthew chapter 5, in case you want to know, verse 20 and 21. There are no better words to hear than these. Don't you want to hear that? Well done.
Amen.
Well done. You know, Dietrich Haddon had that song, well done. I want to hear that. I want to hear him say, well done. You know, so that I know that my labor on this earth has not been in vain.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To know that we are doing what pleases God is an awesome privilege and blessing. It was the Lord's will that the people be fed on that mountainside, that they be blessed with a nourishing meal. When the disciples got in line with the Lord's will, the people were blessed. And so were the disciples, because the Lord always rewards obedience, right? And that's what we have to get to, like with Saul. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When Saul disobeyed God and he took all the spoil from that king, I forgot the king's name. But you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because I don't remember his name, but it's okay. But he took all the spoil, and God had told him to wait for Samuel to come for instruction. But Saul went ahead and he took all the spoil. He left the king alive, but he was supposed to kill everybody. And then at the end of that scripture, God said to Samuel to tell him, obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care about all the sacrifice you supposedly making for me. Your obedience matters to me more than anything else. So that's what we have to get in mind too, because sometimes we think, sacrifice this or that. But if God didn't tell you to do that, he's not going to honor that either, you know? So we always have to be led by God and do what God wills us to do. Amen? It's our obedience, that's what God requires of us. Abraham, you had something?
I was thinking about the disciples. You know, they didn't ask Jesus before they said send the people away, but what they did obey him though, when he said bring me the fishes, yes. And look, they didn't say that's not possible. They and although they knew they had limitations, they knew that Jesus didn't, so they obeyed.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I think that's something for us to learn too. We do have limitations, but with God, God can do anything. So. As long as we give it to God, we can do anything.
Oh, yes. The disciples were right. They knew, but they didn't take the time to question him and say, well, Lord, what you going to do with this? Mm-hmm. These 5,000 people? That would have been us. God tells us this time we question, okay, God, what do you want me to do this for? What's that going to do, God? You know, just obey. You know, God says, obey. That's how we get rewarded. Abraham obeyed God and left his land and his father's house to follow the Lord. And then in the next chapter, we're immediately told that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So Abraham was blessed because he obeyed. He left like God told him to, and God blessed him. Mm-hmm. Amen. I think that's personal, really, because we have stories where we've done something because God said it, simply because God said it. And then he turned around and blessed us for doing it, you know. Yes. And that's how God works. You have to get that, you know. God speaks something to you. He's trying to get something to you. When he wants you to do something, he's trying to get something to you.
Yes.
Now, we ask God for things, and then when he tells us to do something, we don't do it. We wonder why we don't get what we asked for. Okay, because I told you to do this, and you didn't do it. But, you know, we do what God says, and he'll bless us because of it.
Amen.
And this does not mean that God will always bless obedience financially or with material possessions, but he will bless us to go forth to continue to do his will. And he'll do it in lots of different ways. You know, there's different types of blessings that God, you know, gives us when we do what he asks us to do. We get peace and joy and contentment. We get to grow spiritually. You know, God brings you to a higher place. Things that bothered you before, they don't bother you anymore because God has grown you up. So that's a way of God blessing you. You know, he fills you with the spirit of love. You know, he gives you peace in the middle of chaos. All kinds of things. He rewards you with patience. All kinds of ways that God can bless us, not just, you know, financially. He even blesses us with other people. You know, he puts people in our lives. Take some people out. That's a blessing too sometimes. You know, because some people. And then we have eternal blessings, you know. But that's the heart of God. On the mountainside, the people were hungry, and the Lord blessed them with a meal of fish and bread. And remember, the people ate as much as they could until they were full. The disciples were blessed in multiple ways. First, they were blessed in doing the Lord's will and experienced the joy of his favor. And second, they themselves were blessed with food for several days as each disciple gathered up a basket full of fragments. Amen. Now I'm just going to go through the rest of these notes because we're coming to an end. And then that's it. Praise the Lord. On this last point, it was Jesus who commanded the disciples to gather up the fragments. After feeding 15,000 people, the disciples were not likely to clean up the place. They were tired and wanted to go home. But Jesus told them to gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. As a result, the disciples, who had no food of their own at the start, were each blessed with a basket load of food. Jesus literally commanded this blessing upon them. And there's other places in the Bible where God commands a blessing. In Leviticus, it says that when God was challenging the people not to take food on certain days, and he said, if you don't do this, like I said, then I will bless you. The next day I will command. That's what he says. I will command this blessing on you. So he did that in Leviticus 25. And then the commanded blessing as we walk in unity. God has a commanded blessing on his people. So that's why we always have to try to stay on accord, because God commands a blessing in unity. That's how it is with us. When we follow the Lord's example to serve others in love, we don't have to look around for our reward. The Lord will command the blessing upon us. The blessing will come upon us and overtake us from behind. When our hearts are sincerely focused on doing the Lord's will by serving others, Matthew 6:33 comes to life. We seek the kingdom of God and all these other things that are going to come. You know, that's the blessing of the Lord coming behind us and overtaking us, you know, knocking us down because we're seeking God's will first. So on that mountainside, the people were blessed, the disciples were blessed, but God was also blessed. God is blessed when we bring him glory, when we show forth his goodness in the earth. God said, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God wants to show the world that he is good. When we allow him to do that through us, he is well pleased. He is blessed. Now, in John 13, we talked about this. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. In doing so, he provided a powerful example of selfless service. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. It's not the washing, and we said this already, it's not the washing of the feet that's important. It's the humility is the thing that Jesus bowed down. And that's what you think about humility, is bowing down to the will of God. That's what humility is. Amen? And that is the ministry that will bring you a blessing. Amen? Brings you a blessing, brings blessing to others, brings blessing to God. There's blessings all around, blessings in overflow. Just because you obey, just because you have that heart that Jesus has to follow after him, to love people, to see a need and to meet it, not just to have compassion, you know, you move with compassion. That's ministry. That and that kind of ministry, that's what God loves, that's what God appreciates, that's what God honors. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, as I was back in the back meditating, as you all were discussing, almost like the most important thing, and I heard this quote before, but I wrote it down. The most important thing we will ever do in life is obey God. And we grab hold of that.
Amen.
Yeah, we go places.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we just do everything that we hear God say, where he's going to lead us? It's going to be a land of plenty.
Amen.
You know?
Wow.
So the most important thing we could ever do is obey God. But I was back there in Pastor Jeff's office, and I wasn't going to go in there because it was almost time to start. But I was just lit back there, and I'm sitting there, and I said, okay, Lord, and I was talking, and I said, well, what do you want me to do? Because you know, I really didn't know what I was going to do, other than these notes that my husband gave me. But I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, what do you want me to do? And then I look up, and he had this card on his desk that the church actually gave him. And it's an amazing thing. God is just amazing to me. But we're talking about ministry bringing a blessing, and ministry, minister, to minister is to serve. And a blessing is a reward. And the card title is The Servant's Reward. And I just have to read this and then we'll close. There's one day when you are in heaven, someone will come up to you and thank you for the way you touched their life with hope and encouragement. The person's words will take you by surprise. Soon, another person will seek you out, and then another, and another. As you listen to each one's story, you will begin to discover all the ways that God used your life when you were completely unaware of it. You will find that it was not only through the big things you did, but also through the small things, through a spoken word that was not planned, a spontaneous act of kindness, a loving attitude, or a simple prayer of concern. To your joy, you will discover that in all these ways and more, God used you to deposit an eternal measure of his love into many needy hearts. That's awesome.
Yes,
sir. That's awesome. And that's the whole thing, because we never know how we're touching people if we just have a heart to minister. And then in doing that, God is blessed. We are blessed, and the other people are blessed.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise the Lord. Any questions or comments? No? Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you again, God, because you're just so good, oh God, and you are just so great, oh God, and so mighty and so awesome and so wonderful and just so many things, oh God. Words just can't describe how good you are, oh God. And Father, we just bless your name once again tonight, oh God. Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight, oh God. We thank you, oh God, even for this teaching, oh God, on ministry, oh God, that brings a blessing, oh God. Help us, Father, to be servants, O God, to be true servants, to be real servants, O God, to serve with the heart of Jesus, O God, to serve in love, O God, to serve in humility, O God, to serve, O God, as Jesus would serve, O God. And Father, help us not to look for rewards, O God, but just to know, O God, that in serving, O God, our rewards shall come, O Father God, because you are faithful to your word, O God, and that you just take delight in us, O God, when we serve, O God, when your glory is revealed on the earth, O God, into the lives of other people, O God. And Father, we bless you and we thank you, O God, just for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom, O God, allowing us to be a part of your ministry, O God, just allowing us to be your servants, O God, to be called your children, O God. We're thankful to you, O God, and we just bless your name for it, O God. And Father God, as we leave this place tonight, O God, Father, just pray, O God, that you will continue to speak, that you will continue to minister to your people, that you will continue just to give us strength where we need it, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would help us to continue to be sensitive to the needs of others, O God, especially this time, O God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Help us to reveal your goodness or your glory, O God, to someone that needs to hear it, someone needs to know it, someone needs to feel it, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God. Just use us to be that vessel today, O God, in Jesus' name, O God. And Father, as we leave, keep us safe on the road, O God, that no accidents or incidents come near us, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God. And just be with us, O God, every step of the way, O God, until we meet again, O God. And Father, we just be grateful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that you are so worthy and deserving of. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.